Welcome to Good News in the Morning, a program of words and music, bringing a Christian message of hope and encouragement to those who are looking for an intelligent, meaningful, and spirited approach to faith and to life.
Program is sponsored by the Alan Churchill Christian Ministries, Box 184, Rideau Ferry, Ontario, KOG 1WO. This is Alan Churchill speaking. Today, my message is entitled, The Significance of Christmas. The Bible says, when the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. And they went with haste, and found Mary and Joseph, and the babe lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds had told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them. And at the end of 8 days, when he was circumcised, he was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. You can find this great historic text in Luke, the second chapter, verses 15 through 21. Here now is the senior choir of Dominion Chalmers United Church and the Woods Manufacturing Company Brass Band with that beautiful carol, O Come, All Ye Faithful.
Thank you.
What's in a name? A new employee limped up to the foreman at the end of a long day of backbreaking work and asked, "Boss, are you sure you've got my name right?" "Sure," replied the foreman, checking the timesheet. "You're Joe Simpson, aren't you?" "Yes, that's it, all right," the employee conceded. "Sorry, I was just checking. I thought maybe you had me down as Samson." What's in a name? A rose by any other name would still smell as sweet, wrote Shakespeare. Perhaps. The language is important and our choice of words significant. There's a current misapplication of language, that is, both a questionable choice of words and their misuse, and it is approaching epidemic proportions. For example, we insist that change is a synonym for progress, that self-indulgence is the same thing as freedom, that what is new must necessarily be original. This carelessness in the choice and use of language is hardly helpful. It is, in fact, misleading, contributes to confusion of thought and poor communication. What's in a name? For one thing, our identity. We respond warmly to anyone who remembers our name and uses it correctly. When I can call you by name at the sanctuary door, following a service of worship, you will appreciate the compliment. Your name is important to you. You identify yourself and everything you stand for with your name. Secondly, a word can bear a highly emotional payload. The word cancer can strike dread into our hearts. Fears and defeats flash into our consciousness at the sound of a single word. On the other hand, a single phrase can represent a great achievement or an important victory or stimulate within us the urge to conquer. For England and St. George has warmed the blood and sharpened the mettle of many an Englishman. We all have our own rallying cries. The words stir us to stout resolve and formidable action. It is little wonder that the angel was adamant about the name of God's incarnate Son. You are to give him, he said, the name Jesus. The name in Hebrew, Joshua, was well enough known in the history of Israel. Just as Joshua succeeded Moses and led the Israelites into the promised land under the old covenant, so Jesus is to establish a new covenant and lead a new people of God into the kingdom of his righteousness. Under both covenants, the issue is salvation. It is appropriate, therefore, that Joshua and Jesus, Jesus being the Greek form, mean Savior, or more accurately, the Lord saves. Let's break in here and listen to the distinctive voice of Maddie Pryor singing, "Shepherds Rejoice."
Shepherds rejoice, lift up your eyes and send your fears away. News from the regions of the skies, a Savior's born today. Jesus, the God of angels fear, comes down to dwell with you. Today he makes his entrance here, but not as monarchs do. No gold nor purple swaddling bands nor royal shining things. A manger for its cradle stands and holds the King of Kings. Go, shepherds, where the infant lies and see his humble throne. With tears of joy in all your eyes, go, shepherds, kiss the Son. Heavenly armies throng. They tune their hearts to lofty sounds and thus conclude the song. Glory to God that reigns above, let peace surround the earth. Mortals shall know their Maker's love and their Redeemer's birth. Lord, and shall angels have their songs and men no tunes to raise? Oh, may we lose our useless tongues when they forget to raise. Glory to God that reigns above, that pitied us forlorn. We join to sing our Maker's love, for there's a Savior born.
Returning now to our message, let us consider this, that Jesus saves by showing us God's will and purpose. He was named Jesus. He will be great, the angel promised, the Son of the Most High, the royal monarch of a never-ending kingdom. And Simeon, the old priest in the temple at Jerusalem, realized the importance of the tiny child in his arms. For my eyes have seen your salvation. Savior, salvation, these are the greatest words of the Christian faith. The most wonderful and practical thing in the world is God's redeeming love. Sir James Simpson, who discovered the anesthetic properties of chloroform and was one of the most prominent scientists of his generation, was asked by a friend to name the most wonderful discovery he ever had. Simpson replied, "The greatest discovery I ever made was that I had a Savior." It is a great tragedy that salvation, in the full biblical sense, is currently suspect in our great liberal churches, either because some mistakenly think they don't need it, or because it has been interpreted in a narrow and partisan and caricaturized way. There's no greater theme at the end of one year and the beginning of another to recapture the fundamental meaning of Christmas, the birth of the Savior. He was named Jesus. He saves us by showing us God's great will and purpose for us. Jesus is the great word of revelation. He said, "He who has seen me has seen the Father." No one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Jesus isn't just a great storyteller, he is the story. He isn't just a messenger, he is the message. Jesus is the language of God's love. He is the word of love made flesh. The way he lived out his Father's will. The way he accepted the outcast. The way he healed the sick. The way he died for sinners upon the cross was a continuous revelation of divine love. The light of his love for people shone opaquely through and throughout his life, and it showed men a better way. It pointed them to a more important center of spiritual gravity. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. He is God's great prophet of love. Jesus is the living proof that God means business today and every day. "Believe in my words," said Jesus. "But if you can't believe me because of what I say, then believe me because of my deeds." Either way, here is a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people, Israel. There is no one who does not belong to one category or the other. None of us walks on a road that is completely lit up. None of us is sure where he is going. There are many pitfalls, many snares, many false detours. The wind is not always at our back. The sun doesn't always shine upon our faces. We need counsel, wise counsel. Tennyson, the poet, while on a journey, stopped at a certain lady's house and inquired if anything of note was happening. The lady replied, "There's only one piece of news I know. Christ died for all men." "Well," said Tennyson, "that is old news and new news and good news." Jesus is the good news that God still loves his bruised and bloodied old world, including you and me. He is the message of no ordinary love, but of a unique, holy love. Jesus is the word of God, the Holy Father. It was the holy and righteous Father who had sent him and to whom he prayed. By that holy love, he calls us to account. He pays us the compliment of taking us seriously. He shows us the Father as he really is, leaving no doubt in our minds that we neglect so great a salvation entirely at our peril. Love is no dime store commodity to be played with at our convenience and defined on our own terms. Jesus Christ shows us a tough, resilient love, full of the fire of compassion and of judgment. Our lives are called to account before the bar of God's holy love. Why have you acted as you did? Why did you have to speak as you did? These are the searching questions of God's soaring and searing love. In the presence of Jesus, we stand before him who searches every heart, and we hear him say, "Man does not live by bread alone." You can't divide your loyalties between God and materialism. Build your house upon a rock. He is the message of a personal love. God's love has a universal application. God so loved the world, the whole world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Jesus spoke to Nicodemus privately at night, to the Samaritan woman as she was drawing water from Jacob's well, to Zacchaeus the tax collector in his own home. In the same personal way, Jesus wants to communicate to us the message of rebirth through the Holy Spirit working deep in our hearts, of living water welling up within the believer to eternal life, of personal salvation through the Son of Man who came to seek and to save the lost. There is none of us who does not inwardly long for this kind of intimate love in our days of distress and weakness and loneliness. Jesus offers us God's holy and personal love, able to meet every need we have. Consider, secondly, that Jesus saves by transforming our lives. He was named Jesus. He was not only the great prophet of God's saving love, he was God's great high priest of love. Not only did he speak of forgiveness and a new life, he won forgiveness for us by his atoning death on the cross and achieved new life for us by his glorious resurrection. There is in Jesus not only the testimony of a great salvation, but the actual power of salvation to change lives. He is not only the word of revelation, he is also the word of spiritual revolution. He came, both divine and human, to do for us what we cannot do for ourselves. This was no superficial work. He came as God into the world of men. He was a citizen of two worlds. He knew the mind of God, and he knew men's minds. He was baptized into a world of sin, and he himself underwent the most stringent temptations known to man. And so he knows our situation, with all its pitfalls and disappointments and seductive challenges. He understands our problems because he has been there, yet he remained faithful and sinless throughout. He is the mirror of what we should be and can become through his power. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would not be guilty of sin, Jesus said. He challenges us to seek for the new life available in him. He also offers before God his life of obedience in place of our life of disobedience. Through the obedience of one man, the many will be made righteous. And so he comes to us in a truly human form, but also as the divine Son of God who loves us more than we can comprehend and who refuses to let us self-destruct. By his power, he lifts us up above our own best efforts. There's a weariness that comes from striving to be men. Think of the strain of the Christmas season. It is ironic that during this season of hope, more people attempt suicide, more people have psychiatric relapses, more depression is reported, more deaths from natural causes occur, more marriages fall apart, and more family feuds begin than during any other season of the year. Christmas brings a message of hope, but people live in a very real world. They need more than a message. They need power. The rich young ruler needed more than the law to introduce him to eternal life. He needed to experience a transformation of heart and the resulting infusion of a compassionate spirit. We just can't make it on our own. David Rothschild, a real estate broker in Southern California, was faced with a rebellious son who was hooked on methadone, LSD, and heroin, and in trouble with the law on charges of burglary and car theft. Howard, the son, was sentenced three times to juvenile detention. To pay the bills coming in from lawyers, psychiatrists, and medical doctors, David had to work harder than ever. At the same time, he was either visiting his son while he was in jail or was hunting for him when he was out. David watched his livelihood being frittered away. He couldn't understand why money couldn't buy Howard out of trouble or why psychiatry couldn't provide a reorientation in behavior. Committed to a state hospital for observation, after 90 days, the doctor dismissed Howard, saying there was nothing more that could be done for him. Another doctor offered his opinion that Howard would never be a productive adult. Released from jail the third time, David ordered his son to find a job. The clerk at the employment office referred Howard to a lady who had had some success in communicating to difficult teenagers, a Mrs. Hazel Slocum. Shortly after Howard had gone to see Mrs. Slocum, David Rothschild received a dramatic telephone call. It was Howard. "Dad, I have turned my life over to Jesus Christ. My sins are forgiven." David was stunned. They were Jews, not Christians. Howard must have gone off the deep end. To David's complete amazement, Mrs. Slocum appeared to be sane, quiet, and pleasant, definitely not a religious fanatic. And something radical had indeed happened to Howard. He was different now. He was now off drugs. He no longer misbehaved. His attitude was totally new. Today, Howard is restored to full health. But more than this, David, his father, as well as his mother, have also committed their lives to Christ. They have discovered that money, success, prestige, and pleasure aren't important, and that Jesus Christ has the power to transform people's lives, replacing frustration and endless searching with joy and inner peace. God gives us every opportunity to experience His transforming power, too. The message and power of God's love is for us. Do we want to encounter Jesus Christ and experience the power of His love? Then we can have it. It need not be a story of something that happened to someone else. Can't we grasp the dynamics of His love? Each one of us has a place in His saving purposes, and any of us can tap these fathomless resources of grace. But God also respects our privacy. He is not a manipulator. He doesn't use strong-arm methods to persuade us against our wills. Yet we need only reach out in faith and accept and trust Him as Savior and Lord. Thirdly, saves by constraining devotion. He was named Jesus. He saves us by revealing Himself to us and by working a spiritual revolution within us. But Jesus is also the word of resolution. He encounters not only our minds and hearts, but also our wills. Have you never experienced the magnetic appeal of Jesus Christ? Have you never felt the tug of the invisible? He calls us to be obedient. He invites us to be His servants. The saving revelation and power of God has to continue to deal with us, even after our conversion. The convinced Christian is not perfect. We need to press on towards the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. It will be precisely the attractiveness of the Master that will constrain this devotion. This new year, we will make our many resolutions. We need make only one: to see Christ more clearly, to love Him more dearly, to follow Him more nearly, to borrow from St. Francis. Before us lies the pilgrimage of discipleship: commitment, consecration, and application. These are the great themes of Christian devotion. They characterize the life of Christ. They must also be the marked tracts of our lives. Follow me, says Jesus to the disciples, in every age. Shall we hang back? How can we, when He has chosen to walk with us? Within our grasp lies the confidence of those who are secure in Christ's love. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength, cried St. Paul. Peace I leave with you, my peace do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid, said Jesus. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. His name never changes. You never have to look far for Him. He never adopts the disguise of another. He never confuses us by coming, as some claim, as the avatar of another faith. He comes rather as the great teacher and makes us wise unto salvation. He comes to us as the great physician and heals us. He comes to us as the King of Kings and rules our world. He comes, above all, as Savior. Will we accept Him? Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we are grateful for Your words and deeds that reveal Your love and saving purpose to us. We are thankful also that You save us by transforming our lives. We also appreciate Your invitation to devote ourselves to You in worship and in obedience. Thank You, Father. Amen. Don't forget to worship in a church where the gospel is soundly proclaimed and where it is lived out with integrity and compassion. You can hear the most recent broadcast at any time on our website. Our website is accm.ncf.ca. accm.ncf.ca. You can find it under Ministries. If you would like a copy of my most recent book, entitled A Lively Hope, send a check for $15, which will cover the cost of the book, including shipping and handling. The address is the Alan Churchill Christian Ministries, Box 184, Rideau Ferry, Ontario, KOG1WO. Today is our 400th broadcast. We are grateful for your encouragement. If you want to support this program, please make out a check to the Alan Churchill Christian Ministries, Box 184, Rideau Ferry, Ontario, KOG1WO. Market Good News Broadcast. Now, to conclude our program, here are the messengers with their marvelous harmony singing a song entitled The Wonder of It All. May you know Jesus Christ personally and profoundly. May the Holy Spirit reside deep within your heart. And may the Heavenly Father surround you with His constant, abiding, and accompanying love.
sunrise I see, but the wonder of wonders that thrills my soul is the wonder that God loves me. Oh, the wonder of it all, the wonder of it all, just to think that God loves me. Oh, the wonder of it all, the wonder of it all, just to think that St. Anne and Arbenz, the sky, the stars, the sun, but the wonder of wonders that thrills my soul is the wonder that's only begun. Oh, the wonder of it all, to thee.